I'm Jessica Benson here at the American Ag Network, and this is episode 3 of our Eye on Extension program, a new program we just recently started here at the network. And today I'm talking with Carl Hoppe. He's an Extension Livestock Specialist out at the Carrington Research Extension. And today we're obviously going to talk about drought, specifically pertaining to livestock. So let's just get into it. What are the drought conditions specifically in North Dakota right now, and maybe the rest of the country, if you could speak to that?
North Dakota is experiencing a fairly severe drought. D4 category on the National Drought Monitor. It's something that I haven't seen in North Dakota over the past 31 years. We've had droughts like this before, but this particular drought is very unique in that there's no winter snow, so there's not much green grass to be developed in the springtime. Most of our droughts have always started late summer. So as far as a cattle rancher, you've got some grass that's grown, you understock your pastures, you manage it appropriately. Some of the other field crops might develop and maybe you can graze those at some point. At least there might be some hay that can be put up just because of the snow melt and the early spring rains. This year, none of that happened. So we're really struggling for pasture and actually winter feed.
Yeah, and so, you know, just talking about maybe grazing some of those crops that don't develop, is there toxicity concerns when you're thinking about doing something like that, or maybe other concerns we should consider before we throw our cattle out there?
Well, you know, pastures are grass, and grasses are fairly safe to graze. But when we start looking at annual crops, we usually fertilize those annual crops too. So the extra fertilizer can lead to nitrate accumulation in the plants. They're trying to grow. They're trying to get ready to grow some more, and they need a little extra nitrogen to grow. So we add fertilizer, and consequently, we can end up with an accumulation of nitrates, especially in the lower part of the plant. And nitrates can be deadly to livestock. So it's always good to test the feeds. And when I say livestock, sheep, cattle are the major ones that we have problems with. So need to do some type of test. Go out and take a sample, send to a lab. Our county extension agents in North Dakota can do a nitrate quick test, just see if there's presence of nitrates there. And of course, they don't tell you how much is there. And like a lot of things in life, a little bit's okay, a lot's too much. So when it comes to nitrates, if you just have a little, cattle can actually adapt to it over time and be okay. But when you introduce them to a big field, high in nitrates, the outcome could be terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, I would hate to walk out and find that. So, you know, obviously grass is going to be sparse. What are our other feed options? I mean, we could talk about maybe creep feed for our calves to take some pressure off the cows. Just in your opinion, where do we go from there?
Well, manufactured feeds are available. And in North Dakota, we're a really good supplier of co-products. That means distillers grains, soy hulls, wheat middlings, even corn gluten feed. We have co-products in North Dakota that we're usually shipping out of state. So if you're looking for it in North Dakota, you look close. You try to contract early and perhaps you can get some supply for wintertime. After that, we're looking at freighting in stuff from other regions. And that might mean bringing in corn or hay from places that are getting some rain or even under irrigation. Of course, freight costs are really high on that particular deal. The other choice is to haul the cattle to where the feed is. And that's another issue because cattle aren't just like grain. You can load them in a semi and hopper bottom and go. You have to have brand inspection, health papers inspection. So all the cattle need to be ran through a chute and identified by a veterinarian, and then they can be shipped out of state to a location that might have more feed. Normally we'd do it in state, but the whole state is affected this year.
Yeah, pretty limited there. And so, so sending them out of state, do people in North Dakota, if they are going to ship cattle out of state, is there a particular place they tend to go to close by, or just wherever they can find a spot? I've heard of people sending cattle as far as Colorado even.
Well, you go wherever you have a relationship built and you trust somebody to take care of your livestock for you. If you're looking for feeder cattle, there's plenty of feedlots located across the Midwest, whether it be Nebraska, Kansas, Iowa, Colorado. There's feedlots available. Most of our cow herds, they don't want to put them into a feed yard. They'd like to have cheaper, lower quality feed, something to keep them alive and give them lots of room to get out and stretch and walk around. So grazing cornfields might be an option after corn harvest. So that would be Nebraska, South Dakota, maybe Iowa. Problem is not everybody has fences around their cornfields. And then you have to have water for your cornfields. And depending upon how much snow, you need to have some backup feed because it may not melt right away. Unlike North Dakota, we usually have backup feed during blizzards, or we just feed all winter long because we know we're going to have snow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lots of obstacles. So we don't have feed. We don't have pasture elsewhere. Let's maybe talk about calling. When is the best time to do it? I mean, and in your opinion, when should we do it?
Well, getting rid of excess animals, unproductive ones, should be done right away. They should have been maybe done a couple months ago. And some people are feeding their animals in dry lot, still waiting to figure out what they might do. You know, you hope for a better market price in the market. You just accept what it is and move on. Because everybody's in the same boat of trying to harvest cows right now, too. So the old, the angry, the ones that aren't in good condition, the ones that aren't raising a calf, the ones that weren't bred, the ones that weren't pregnant, the ones with bad feet and legs, we all should have got rid of those already. Now we're looking at your choices. Do you sell the younger, more valuable ones, produce some income, or do you sell the old cows that have been used up? I shouldn't say it that way, but She's, you know, after 10 years of age, they start showing age. And at that point, maybe we should just get rid of those cows before they die on your farm.
Right. Or, you know, develop an injury or an illness, and then it's too late. Because you'd rather call them when they're in decent shape than wait too long. Because it looks bad on the animal husbandry side. So,
absolutely. Good point. The problem, though, is we've got to get rid of animals, and now we've gotten rid of most of those. Now it's into the issue of, do we sell the late calving cows with babies at their side? Do we sell the older cows with calves that could be weaned? We're at that point where we're making some hard decisions on what we need to keep and what we need to go. And it's not easy getting rid of half of your cow herd. Some producers have just shipped all their cows. And so I inquired on some of that, and it's amazing. Some producers in North Dakota still have grass, so they might pick up those cows. They just relocate themselves. Maybe we won't have to go out of state for all of them, but we don't know yet. We don't know what our crops are going to be. So we don't really know when to pull the trigger on these things. Without every week without rain is one more step towards an even worse situation.
Yeah, that's it's tough. And, you know, just in your 30 years of experience, how does, you know, and like you said, you haven't seen a drought of this severity, but how does this play into the cattle production scene a year or two from now?
Well, when you decrease the number of cows, you're going to have less cattle available in North Dakota. There's just going to be a smaller herd. How do you build a cow herd? You either bring cows from out of state in, or you keep animals from within the cow herd. And, you know, it's not like sheep where you can lamb them out this year and have a lamb crop out of those lambs next year. Cows, you have to wait 2 years. So if we sell the factory today, it'll be 2 years before we have a baby produced. Mm-hmm. And that'll be another 6 months before it's weaned, and another year before we have, or 6 months to a year before we have a marketable animal for slaughter. So the time frame, this could hurt cash flows for ranches at this particular point and into the future. What it's going to do for our cattle prices, you know, North Dakota has 1 million cows, not quite anymore, but other states have a lot more cows than we do. So our drought may not affect the national price, or it might. Time will show.
Right. Yep. And so let's shift gears here and talk about sheep. I'm not very privy to the sheep world, but it sounds like they're doing really well. So can you tell us why and what's going on there?
Well, if you look at the auction markets now in the Midwest region for slaughter lambs, they're at an all-time high, even double what they were a few years ago. So it's quite impressive maybe it's just a crunch. There is differences out there. There's even a goat market that wasn't around 20, 30 years ago. And if you check out the price of goats, they're fairly priced very well. So the sheep industry is seeing some life. In other words, people are wanting to get into it. Now may not be the best time to get into sheep production just because the cost of breeding ewes are high too. So, but those people who have been in it are finally reaping kind of what I would call the equivalent of the $7 corn the corn farmers are getting.
Yeah.
It used to $3 and now we're $7. Well, sheep used to be less and now up towards $300 or more dollars a head on some slaughter land.
So would you just say that that's maybe a shift in consumers in the U.S. or are we exporting these animals mostly, or what's going on?
most of the American lamb is consumed by Americans.
Okay.
So, and we do import quite a bit of lamb as well. So there's a group of people that prefer lamb. Of course, when you look at the amount of meat that's consumed in the U.S., lamb is a very small fraction of poultry, pork, and beef. We're just a small deal. So it's a separate entity. But for some reason now, people are willing to pay more for lamb, or there's more demand for lamb. A few years ago, it wasn't that way, but today it is.
Huh. You know, I believe this is, I'm going to say 99% true, that the most lamb consumed is actually on Mother's Day. Fun fact. Yeah, so it's a bit of a treat. But thanks, Carl, for coming and talking to us today on American Egg Network. Is there anything else you'd like to touch on before we let you go?
Always be sure to do budgets on your cow herd and figure out just how much feed is required for the cow herd. And while it's always nice to have carryover from previous years to prevent yourself and isolate from a drought, that doesn't always happen. So please do the math and see where you're at. And don't wait until the last minute to decide that, oh no, it didn't rain. What are we going to do now? Have an exit plan. Have a strategy plan. It'll help you in the long run.